This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
What's the tip?
Big boy in a fifth.
Forget it. The fifth goes off at three. We going to the track?
You're listening to Race Day at Fairmont Park on lineupmedia.fm.
And it off.
With a different story on every face.
I'm going to Hawaii! I'm going to Hawaii!
It's falling back.
I'm not going to Hawaii!
Will they make it through?
I like the two horse. It's got front wraps.
Big money on the four horse.
I like the six. That's the horse. That's it.
I always bet on five.
The number one horse.
I like the four. Number four. Four.
I like the six.
I like the four horse.
And you lay your money down when you cross the line.
Here comes the champ. I mean it. You are the champ. Believe me, you got more guts than you got sense. I love it.
Now your host, Jono Kabinjian.
Welcome, welcome back, race fans, to another great show here at FairmontParkPodcast.com. And I don't have Jamie today, Brian, but I do have Scott Jagow. And Scott, how the hell are you, babe? You're part of the Pollock Report, and it's a big honor to have you on our show.
I really appreciate you having me and reaching out. And it just was kind of a coincidence. I know you reached out to the website, but it just turns out that I moved to St. Louis like 2 months ago.
So, oh, you're going to love this.
So I'm here in person instead of being on the phone, which
nice.
Is nice. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, having someone to give us some details about horse racing, I don't have that. All I do is talk about Fairmont Park and all that. And Scott, I mean, he dissects everything that's going on in the horse racing business right now. And that's very cool. I'd love to have you on all the time if I could, you know, whatever works out.
And there's a lot going on in the horse racing industry. Let me tell you that right now. This has been a rough year for this sport, starting with the fatalities at Santa Anita. Then we had the disqualification of the Derby winner. And then in the Preakness, you know, fans saw a horse run off without his jockey and were asking questions about that. And most recently, a Hall of Fame trainer has been banned from major racetracks. So, yeah, there's a lot going on.
And I tell you what, Scott, even that third leg, where there should have been an inquiry on another horse, too, that they didn't pull it up or anything because it's the same barn, and damn if that jockey's going to do anything by throwing up an objection.
Right, right. Yeah, Sir Winston, the Mark Cassie horse.
Yeah, so I think that your triple crown threat this year of having all these horses, I think there was a story in each section, actually.
There was, and Mark Cassie had never won the Kentucky Derby, and he actually had never won any triple crown race.
What's your call on that?
Two of them.
What's your call on that?
What do you mean?
I mean, should the horse have went down?
The maximum security?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at certain angles, it's just so obvious how far out he came. And I understand that it's the Derby and you don't want to take the winner down. But, my gosh, he wiped out a bunch of horses.
Right.
And
right.
I think in any other race, that's a foul. It's a clear foul.
Right.
If you're going to have rules, I think it was good for horse racing for people to see, hey, there are rules. It's not just Wild West out there.
I totally agree, because I'm friends with one of the stewards out there at Fairmont Park, and I asked him, and he said, you know, how can I say that horse would have finished second or fourth or fifth or whatever? I can't play that role. I'm just there to see the obstruction happen. If it's who am I to say, well, that horse could have come back, or the horse had no chance to even compete? You can't say that. You got to go by the foul, and there was a foul there.
You know about the two different standards, the two rules, international versus what we have?
Tell me.
We have a very unique stewarding system about disqualification. So the rest of the world, it boils down to, would the offending horse have finished in front of the interfering horse? That's the question. But in
our country,
no, the standard is here, it would did the interfering horse cost the other one the opportunity for a better placing? Not would he have finished in front of him. So that's different. So you're not going to get nearly as many DQs internationally because their standard is different as here. If you thought the horse could have finished second and he finished third, then that's a DQ.
Right.
Because you cost him a better placing.
No, I just don't. Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with the European method more. I just think that the horses that are running, you can't play Dr. Doolittle and say, well, he could have done this, or there's no way that he could have been in the money, or she could have been in the money. So, you know, it just, I base it all on the foul. If it happened, that's right there. You can't say, well, that horse had no chance because it was 20-1 or 30-1. Don't give me that. They put the owners put their horse in there, the trainers have, they think they got a shot.
And if something had happened, if that had caused an accident and other horses had gone down on national TV, given the backdrop of all those fatalities at Santa Anita and the pressure that's been on the industry this year, man, that would have been a catastrophe. I don't know if horse racing would have survived it, honestly.
Do you think, what's your opinion on what's going on at Santa Anita?
I am baffled as to what the actual cause is. I think it's multiple factors, and, you know, including the breeding in recent years, the overuse of medication like Lasix, trainers running horses when they're not sound, overusing them. And then, of course, there was a lot of rain early in the season, and that probably wreaked havoc with the track. So
should that be squarely on the trainer, though? What you just mentioned right there, I'm going to go with the racetrack vet also. You know what? You're on the hook, too. If you're allowing stuff like this going on, it's your department. You got to cover that. And right before a race, how can we claim a horse and we know more about that horse from asking that groomsman from that barn? We got our ways of finding out what's wrong with that horse when they've entered allowance horse into a claiming tag of 8,000 and you see a stat say he hasn't been out of the money. Now you're thinking, I can go get this horse. But first, let me go to one of their groomsmen or morning jocks, find out what's I could tell the pimples from them just telling me what's wrong with that horse.
And I think that this is an issue at racetracks across the country, which is people need to take ownership of these horses in terms of everyone as a community looking out for things, keeping an eye, like you just said, asking questions. And then if you see something, say something, you know, that old cliche. But seriously, that is one of the biggest problems in this game in terms of trying to get cheaters, for example. People keep their mouths shut. And
the only thing I got with that, though, Scott, you right intention and everything, but now I'm a groomsman.
Right.
Now, if I say something, you think another trainer's going to hire me? Do you really think that they're going to hire this guy that's a stool pigeon that's just ratted out barn number 5 on what's going on? I'm just trying to make a living. I'm not good at anything. I'm just, this is my life.
I hear you. I know. I can't
do that, though.
I know.
That's what I'm saying.
It makes it difficult, but, you know, the industry is in peril right now on a large scale in terms of people looking at it saying, you know, this sport shouldn't even exist anymore. The circus is gone. Dog racing is gone. You know, there are other animal performance things that are not here anymore. And horse racing is right in the crosshairs. So I understand what you're saying, but people do need to
I agree.
Prevent these things from happening.
But it starts with the lowest guy on the totem pole that is in that barn that's working with this trainer. This trainer can't hold the horse and do this and do that. I mean, he's got to have his accomplices with him, and that's the groomsman. And if they come clean, well, they're not going to be hired on any other barn next to them or anywhere in I know what you're saying, though. That's definitely. But Santa Anita right now, what about the trainer you just mentioned before the show? Yeah. Well, what, Santa Anita or Del Mar suspended them.
Yeah, first it was the Stronach Group said all of their tracks, which, you know, include Laurel Park, Gulfstream Park, Golden Gate, Santa Anita, and they said, you're out. We don't want you to race here anymore. He had four fatalities at the Santa Anita meet, and he had two more at Golden Gate this year. So I'll get to that in a second. But then the New York Racing Association said, you are welcome. The day after, they said, you are welcome at our tracks. Then a week later, without explaining why, they said, we've decided you are banned. Then
No explanation.
Then Del Mar did the same thing this week and said, Hollendorfer is not welcome to race here this meet, and gave no explanation for it at all. So we're all wondering what in the world is behind this, because yes, he had six fatalities in recent months, but he had zero fatalities at Santa Anita last year, Hollendorfer, and he had two the year before. So that's a total at Santa Anita of six in 3 years. That doesn't seem like a significantly high percentage, and I am sure I could find trainers at the same racetrack who have higher percentages. So why is Hollendorfer being singled out, a Hall of Fame trainer? Something is going on behind the scenes that we don't know about.
Well, I definitely think that right now they have a witch hunt. They have to point a finger at an individual and not this big track. It's not our track, Scott. It's this guy. It's this guy that's been doing all this. And it's guys like him, and now we're weeding him out. But reality is, this track right now is not playing favorable to these horses. They're taking bad steps.
That's true, and the Breeders' Cup doubled down by deciding to keep the Breeders' Cup World Championships this year at Santa Anita instead of moving them, so they've got to be holding their breath that something doesn't happen and that track doesn't continue to have these issues.
Well, they have, what 15 to 17 the horses running in the same race in these Breeders' Cup races?
14.
14, all right. You know, if we're looking at the odds,
right,
something could happen.
Sure.
So you know what? You're really putting yourself in a bad spot, Santa Anita, by saying, hey, you know what? We welcome everyone. It should have been moved to Del Mar, in my opinion. I mean, yeah. If something's happening like this, California should jump in and say, you know what? We're pulling the plug on Santa Anita on this. Let's move it to Del Mar.
Yeah. Well, the thought was Churchill Downs, because Churchill Downs just held it last year. It has the size and can adapt really quickly to a big event, whereas Del Mar is smaller and needs to build a lot of temporary facilities. Anyway, but if they had moved it, it's kind of a catch-22. If they had moved it and everything went well, then the fingers would point back and say, oh, it was Santa Anita, it was California. But if Churchill had some accidents, then the national media and the animal rights groups and whoever would all point and say, wait a minute, this isn't a California problem. This isn't a Santa Anita problem. It's a national problem, which, let's face it, in reality, it is.
I've had horses in the past with Tommy Tryon as my trainer, and this was about 15, 20 years ago. We ran at Indy Downs, and our horse, two horses, back-to-back nights, they both snapped their legs. And it just happened. It's happened. So, you know, when you mention trainers from California where all this is happening, it's still, you know, it can happen. We can't put this guy on the stake and burn him.
Right. Well, that's the thing. I really think there's something else that happened that we don't know about that is bad enough that no one is talking about it, including his own attorney. So I don't know what that is. I have no idea. I did get an email from somebody on the backside who offered that same explanation, that he must have done something really bad and no one's going to talk about it. So we'll see. We'll see where it goes. Maybe it'll go end up in court and we'll get some answers.
And when it's when folks, I got to tell you this too, when you're applying for an owner's card to race at West Virginia, New York, California, I think all these states are in cahoots with, they want to know, have you ever been suspended from getting a horse or running a horse? And, you know, if you tell them exactly what state, they'll still, I mean, they work together and they're not going to allow it, is what I'm saying.
Right.
So you're seeing a lot more of that. Anything else happening in the horse business right now?
Well, this week, Saratoga kicked off its annual summer meet, which is a very popular event. Have you been to Saratoga?
Yes, I have. Okay. What a beautiful,
It's an incredible venue.
You rent a house there. Yes. It's
expensive, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
And the grandstand is it was built in 1863, which
beautiful stone walls,
the oldest track, and in the backyard where everyone picnics and it has for a tailgating feel to it. I absolutely adore Saratoga. But this one change this year, two changes I'll tell you about. One is they've been running 6 days a week, which is a grind for the people involved on the backstretch and for the fans. This year they went to 5 days. The main benefit of that, I think, is you might get an extra start into a lot of the horses that are on the grounds by not running 6 days and spreading it out longer. Mm-hmm. So that means better field sizes, which means better betting handle. And NYRA, the New York Racing Association, also is going to add a new jackpot pick six. Do you like these bets?
I love them. Okay. I love them. I play it, and when it's really built up, I bring a couple more people into it. And yeah. I mean, it's where can you find something like that to where each guy's invested $100, and we got ourselves a multi of horses on each leg, and you know it's fun.
I completely agree, and I don't understand why there's these old school horse players who just completely push back and say it's a sucker bet. I want the $2 bet back, which only big whales can play, basically.
Right.
So there are a lot of people in the horse player end who are advocating for more of these jackpot wagers because you can spread out. And like you said, when the carryover builds up, especially mandatory payout days, you can get a really nice payout above and beyond what you would normally expect on a regular day.
Right.
Because of all the dead money, all the money that's been sitting there in the pool.
Also, on that note, too, I mean, I just thought about what they would be having a gripe about. I like the $1. I like the $1. I like the 50 cent, and I like the $1. I haven't seen 50 cent pick sixes. I mean, they'll drop it down to 20 cent if they're going that low.
Right.
But in general, I'm not a big fan of going that low, 10 cent or 20 cent. And I'll tell you why, because they cover every angle then. And the carryovers aren't going to be as much. You're not going to see that type of enticement.
I agree. And that's one of the issues. I think it's really good to point out. And the big players can afford to cover almost all the possibilities
in
those really small minimum bet jackpots.
Right.
So that is a problem. And these guys use these algorithms and computers. They can cover so many different possibilities that our brains couldn't come up with. I mean, they're using these algorithms. So they have a huge advantage, you know, even though it does help the small horse player in that it's a, you know, at least it's not a $2 bet.
Right. No, I get that. I get that. Saratoga takes off today then, right?
Yeah.
Thursday.
Yeah, right. Thursday, and then
Thursday the 11th.
Del Mar, where Ray Pollock, the founder of the Pollock Report, he's my boss, he just drove out to Del Mar. He has a house out there. Literally, you can walk to the track.
I mean, that's beautiful.
You can see the Pacific Ocean. I mean, good grief.
That's beautiful.
He loves going out there this time of year. I love Del Mar, of course. How can you not? It's on the Pacific Ocean. But if I had to choose between the two, Saratoga is more my vibe. I like
I'm West Coast type of guy myself.
Are you? Okay. Are you from L.A.?
I love going out to L.A. Okay. I love L.A., Brian. There's a motto on that.
Well, I see your hat.
Thank you.
I'm a lifelong Dodgers fan.
So. Oh, really?
And I lived out there for
years. I'm an old Cincinnati Reds fan, and the Dodgers and the Reds always used to go back and forth. Used to be our National West when we were in the Western Division.
It was
the Dodgers and the Reds always, butting heads.
Funny thing is, I moved to St. Louis from Cincinnati, so I've been following the Reds for the last few years.
I love the Reds.
That's hilarious.
Hey, tell me a little bit about the Pollock Report for people out there that don't know it.
Well, we cover the thoroughbred racing industry and in some cases quarter horse racing and other breeds on a limited basis, but it's primarily the thoroughbred industry, all aspects. So we have different sections on our website from the biz, which covers, you know, the industry business, and then we have a people section, we have the races themselves, we cover those, we have a bloodstock section, so the breeding industry, we have a section devoted to horse playing and betting, and then there's one that's relatively new that's really popular called Horse Care, where we talk about things related to caring for equines. So, and that's been really
popular. Was this the latest?
That's one of the newer sections.
I think, you know what? This is how you guys adjust. This is how horse racing has to adjust to show the outside world,
right,
hey, we do care. We do care. And that's great that you guys have that.
And we have, I guess, our specialty or our focus a lot of times is investigative reporting and controversy, which some of the thoroughbred racing websites won't really get into. I mean, the Jockey Club owns a majority of the blood horse now, and the blood horse doesn't really get into the muck of the racing business.
Right.
So, you know, we've become kind of popular for that reason. And we also allow a pretty wide open forum discussion comments, you know, in the on our posts. And people have gravitated to that. I mean, sometimes we have to kick people off because they're being nasty or whatever. But for the most part, it's a thoughtful discussion where people can share their opinions. And I just wanted to point out one other story that this week, which kind of exemplifies some of the things we do. So Natalie Voss, who is our features editor and writer, she wrote a really great piece about a trainer named George Isaacs, who was a trainer a long time ago. And he had come into contact with this shyster con man named McCandless. Well, McCandless kept coming up with all these ideas for get rich quick schemes, and one of them was
switching horses.
You know, this is the 80s, and he told George Isaacs, he goes, here's my plan. I'm going to scout out the horses. I'm going to have other people scout them out, and then we're going to stick sponges in the noses of the favorites. Okay, so George Isaacs, the trainer, forgets about this. Years go by, and then in the mid 90s, all of a sudden at Churchill Downs, the stewards are finding sponges stuck up the horses' noses. And they open an investigation. It keeps happening. They can't seem to stop it. They're looking for answers. Well, this George Isaacs hears about this, and he goes to them and says, I can help you out. I think I know who's doing this.
You son of a gun.
He remembered it, right? Well, he does go to them. They find out. They go to his house. They find all the necessary sponges and other equipment that he's using. They don't make an arrest.
What?
They get an indictment, but then McCandless, this shyster, disappears.
Of course.
Right? So the whole story is now, 20 years later, Isaacs is still trying to get his $50,000 reward, but it was only for arrest and conviction, or at least for arrest or conviction.
Wow.
And they won't give him his money because but it was their fault that the guy didn't get arrested.
I mean,
he brought him to you on a silver platter, and
he had to
go into hiding for 2 years because he was afraid of this guy. So it's on our website. It's a great read.
For people out there like Brian that aren't familiar with what are they trying to accomplish with the sponge in the nose?
So what they're doing is they're stiffing that horse who's the favorite. And, you know, because they can't breathe as well. I mean, the idea is not to kill the horse, but you're treading a little fine line there. But then the other horses, they would bet on the long shots because the favorites weren't going to win.
Right. So it would mess with their ability to get oxygen into their system, which slows them down, but doesn't actually hurt them. Well, I mean, it can, but
yeah, but I mean, it's like trying to run while holding your nose. I mean,
right. Just, you're still going to run, but you're not going to run like you did before.
Yeah, not very fast or far.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a great little story that we've posted this week, and I just wanted to give a
How can
shout
our fans
out.
Find us?
It's on PaulickReport.com, which is spelled PaulickReport report.com.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And is there a subscription out there?
It's free.
And
we do have a free email as well to get the daily headlines. And
how
we
great
send out
is that?
Features.
I seen you guys, and I said, you know what? I'd love to have someone from out there come on our show. So thank you so much, Scott.
I appreciate it.
Well, you do know we race out here now. How long have you lived out here now?
Just a couple of months, actually.
Couple of months?
Around Derby time I came here.
What do you think of Fairmount Park?
I actually enjoy it. It's, you know, it's a very family-friendly atmosphere. I've been on a Saturday and a Tuesday, and I really liked the vibe I got.
Yes.
I mean, it didn't feel like, you know, I've been to some smaller tracks where it's kind of degenerate feeling.
Right. Yeah.
Fairmont doesn't seem that way.
No.
Kids walking around and it just has a happy vibe.
Happy vibe. Yeah. And everyone mixes good together.
Yeah.
There's not a, there's the bourgeoisie over there or something. Everyone just blends and everyone has a good time on their own. No one's giving anyone a hard time. And I've been to Hawthorne many times to claim or to race horses up there. And I tell you what, it's just a depressing mode. No offense to anyone that is out there listening to our show from Hawthorne, but you got to admit, it's a little depressing up there. Just a little, tad bit depressing up there.
Totally agree.
And that long stretch, Jesus Christ, where in the hell are they coming in? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I wish they had a little more variety to the races at Fairmont. I mean, it just seems like every race is a 6-furlong sprint. And then occasionally they'll get a mile 70 or whatever. Well, but I'd like to see more routes.
You're gonna see a lot more in the future here. We've got our slot machines. That's gonna be coming in. That's gonna be about 900 machines coming. Jesus Christ! Now I can bring my wife. My wife doesn't like horse racing, but she loves slot machine. You can go out there and play your little slot machine. I don't have to sit there and watch you and go, hooray, you won 40 coins. Great. Now I could do my thing, Scott. I can enjoy my life with my friends out there, me, you, and a couple guys, play a pick four, pick five, and we'll start seeing more pick five, pick fours, and all that when we're having more racing, too.
And sports betting is coming,
too. Sports betting. How great is that, man?
I'm really excited about that possibility.
Oh.
Because I think people should see horse racing and sports betting side by side, because sports betting is not nearly as good a proposition as horse racing betting. Horse racing is better. I mean, because you're not going to get 20-1 odds on one event, like a football game, unless you do a parlay.
Yeah, and how many you got to win?
Right, that's what I'm saying. You got to win 8 in a row.
Yeah.
But in horse racing, in any given race, you could get a 20-1 winner or even higher.
Not only that, I can walk up to the window with a dime, one dime, and say I want the 2, 4, 5, 8. And that's, I mean, 2 with the 4 with the 5 and with the right. 8. And that'll cost a dime. I just laid out a dime there. And that's amazing. You can't find that at a casino. You can't find that at a sports book. But what is good, though, now I can make my sports book play. I'm watching that game right there. I still need action. Every 18 minutes, 22 minutes, I'm going to watch and bet the horses too. Or simulcast with other tracks too, going off every 4 or 5 minutes there. It's a great duo there to have.
I completely agree, and I'm very excited to have it coming to Illinois and perhaps Missouri at some point, because I know there's been some movement, but...
Yeah, they can't even figure out to get a football stadium here. They're bringing in a soccer stadium. They're all messed up. I don't know what the hell's going on, but I welcome any stadium, anyone, and too much politics involved. They can't even put their head on that. How are we gonna come up with a horse track out in the and you can't put it in St. Louis because you're right across the river from Collinsville.
Yeah.
And Collinsville's building up. So it's got to be somewhere like Kansas City is where I'm thinking. If you're going to go with a horse track or dog, well, they had dogs. That went to hell, too. let's go to Fairmont Park Saturday night. This Saturday night, July 13th, post time 7:30. You guys may want to get there a little earlier if you're doing the party at the park. Have you been at the party at the park yet?
I went to the first one, yes.
How was that? You liked it?
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Cheap beer and the food, live music, and that's real entertaining. When did you get there? 1 hour early to get in?
I think so.
Yeah. So, folks, if you're going to a party at the park, come like one and a half hours earlier to get there for line or whatever for party at the park. But if you're not even going there and going to the track, 7:30 is post time, first race. And you know what, Scott? Let's hear it from you, buddy. tell me what you like in the first leg here.
First race is quarter horses, right?
Going it's quarter horses, 330 yards, optional claiming.
Yeah, I mean, I have not spent a great deal of time betting quarter horses, but from time to time, it's kind of fun.
Wait a minute, Scott. I violated And look, the big man almost came hit me with their laptop. The weather, Brian, Saturday night, can you tell us?
Yeah, it'll be mostly sunny with a high of 88, low of 68.
Dry, fast track.
Dry, fast track. And, you know, not much of a breeze, 5 miles per hour coming out of the east.
Right.
And, so, yeah, all in all, should be a good
night.
So says
you on Thursday for a Saturday. I swear, I have... This place, the weather, I just cannot understand.
No. I mean, blue sky, rain.
I've lived in a lot of places. I just have never lived anywhere where it was so unpredictable. Storms kind of out of nowhere.
Nowhere. The weather, and it's so big blue sky.
It's supposed to be 95 degrees, and then it's 78. That's
yeah.
crazy.
So, yeah, anyway. But best information I got states that it'll be good and dry.
Awesome.
With some clouds, but not exceptionally hot. I mean, we're not hitting the 90s at that point. So
now, have you been seeing how the races are going at Fairmont Park?
Yeah, I've paid attention.
Is it inside? Is it outside? Is it stretch runners? Is it front runners? How are you looking at it?
Well, the other day, the last time I was there, I thought it was pretty speed favoring. But then I saw a couple of races where they went just a little bit too fast and the closers came in. So it's fairly fair. I mean,
that's great.
I think
I like that. Yeah. I like you know what?
I don't want it to be a merry-go-round.
No, you're right. You're right about that. And that's how it should be. I hate when you know that the front speed's not holding or the front speed's holding. And if you got a late stretch runner and he's not going to play in the realm here because you got a front runner that likes to go to the front. And, you know, I like how the track is always keeping it fair. So that's good.
Yeah. So first race,
well, 330 yard. Optional claiming. And
I would say this is a motto of mine. It's the whiskey.
It's the whiskey.
It's the whiskey. You know, the trainer's stats are pretty good and the times that the horse has been running, albeit, let's see, 330 was, yeah, a couple races back. Just in comparing it to other horses in the field, I don't know. This one, I didn't have a strong opinion about this. Like I said, I haven't done a lot of quarter horse handicapping, but... I will also point out number six, Dashing and Smart at 9-2 is 13-20 in the money.
Okay,
it's
so you're going with
a long time since he's won though.
So you're going with the three on top
and maybe the six underneath.
Six underneath.
Yeah.
All right, I always do this, Scott. I'm always looking at class, what you've run, and all that. And I'm looking at this one right now. You ran allowance optional 13,002 life. And the Indy's noted for quarter racing, too. That's another respectable race. But then I look at, and by the way, that's the horse's name is Ain't No Love Here. And then I look at the three. It's the whiskey. And I'm seeing that last race was a claiming 10,002 life. Now it's moving up a little bit. And it's not moving up, but he's seeing this horse that it's on a drop here. I think the horse on the drop has got a nice little portfolio after that last race. I know it was on slop though, so I'm going with the 1-3, and I'll throw your six in there too. I like the six.
I'm just looking at the trainer stats for the three. I mean, two races back he was at 20,000, so he isn't dropping technically. This time, but he is moving up to the next condition, which is non-winners of three as opposed to two. Right. And his trainer, 330 to 390 yards, 27%. And then Colts or Geldings, 30%. So I just like those stats.
Yeah, those are nice stats. What's the number you like to say, you know what, that's a good stat. That's an okay stat from that point on. Go ahead. I want to hear from your wing clip. Or your money, how it's been running in the money.
Okay, so you're talking percentage.
Yes.
You know, I mean, anything 20% or higher is a pretty decent number.
You're much higher than me.
30 is getting into the territory of, okay, that's pretty dominant. And then if it goes any higher than that,
right.
I think you might be cheating.
30, we're talking like Pletcher, aren't we? Pletcher or those
Chad
type of
Brown,
guys. Yeah.
Chad Brown, Bob Baffert, they're all usually around 30. percent.
What was your call on, I hate to bring it up again, but Asmussen with all the tax that he didn't pay his groomsmen and all that stuff?
Yeah, I don't know what the background is on that. I mean, Chad Brown got fined $1.5 million for not violating different immigration policies and things like that. And it's just disappointing. These guys make quite a bit of money, and their backstretch workers are you know, not making that right, much money. So when I see that kind of stuff, and I don't know the backstory, it just disappoints me.
Right, right. All right, so you got the three on top on this one?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going with the one on top here, okay, folks. So first one is quarter race. Anything can happen. Yeah. This is like dog racing, like I told Brian. They bump into each other. One bad bump, and you're out of there. I mean, that's what happens in quarter racing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right, second race here. Second race, we got a 6 furlong. And, it says maiden. And I'm always used to saying maiden special weight. And it's not a maiden special weight, but it's a maiden race. It's a maiden race going 6 furlongs. What do you got on this one?
Well, I guess this would probably be one of my plays of the card.
Oh, wow. Already.
We'll see.
Race number two.
It's not like it's a long shot. I do have a couple of long shots in the next races, but it's the number 6, Tale of the La Comite.
Nine to five favorite, Ackerman, Victor Santiago, and Ackerman's only won or raced one time this year here, Victor's at a 26% win clip here, so he's got to be up there.
So here's my question.
Yeah.
Do you know who Charles Fipke is?
No.
All right, so he doesn't race here often, I'm assuming.
It didn't ring a bell.
Okay, so Charles Fipke is the owner of some really high-class horses.
Okay.
He owned Forever Unbridled, who won the Breeders' Cup Distaff, Seeking the Soul, Perfect Shirl, who won the Breeders' Cup Turf, Filly and Mare Turf at 28-1, my favorite score of all time because I picked it. Tale of Akati, this horse's sire, B Jersey, Jersey Town. I could go on. These are all grade one winners owned or usually bred by Charles Fipke. So I'm not sure what he's doing at Fairmount Park, to be honest, but this horse coming out of Maiden 32 at Indiana, before that, Keeneland Fairgrounds, Oaklawn Park.
That's flexing some muscle.
And those races are just faster than these horses have been running. I don't see how he loses.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
This is a filly race.
I definitely see what you're saying. I mean, a Keeneland Fairgrounds, Oaklawn Park, and this latest one was on turf. And that, I think it would have done much better, too, if, maybe not on turf, because it seemed like it was right there. And I don't know, lost by 8, not bad. But, yeah, I see what you're saying. Definitely belongs here. I'm definitely on this one. Hasn't even worked out here. He's just coming right here. This Invader has got some war paint on, looking for some business here to get the diploma and move on. Who do you have for second here? Who do we like for our exacta?
I didn't really know.
All right.
Who do you like?
I'm going with, for money here, I'm going with Eddie Edom, S and Price, the 5. Look at Eddie's numbers on first time. Where the hell are the
I have time? 15% on first start.
Maiden special weight, 15%, 14%. He's much better than what he's put out this year, that's for sure. Eddie loves younger horses. I think this one, first-time Lasix, I think this one's going to be ready to go. Anything on the breeding here on this horse? We got Deputy Storm and...
I don't know much about the Illinois breds,
Illinois, to be honest.
And the other thing about the 6 is she's a Kentucky bred, and a lot of times, you know, you see these races, and the Kentucky breds do pretty well when they're running up against, horses coming from other states that aren't quite as prestigious as Kentucky. So, yeah, but in terms of the 5, this is a first-time starter.
Look
at the rest of this field.
Right. And you're bringing this other, raced one time at Fairmount Park last time out, the one horse. The other one that's getting some play at the morning line, 5-2. She's a Shafty babe or
she's
something?
She's a mine shaft.
Yeah, she's a mine shaft. What the hell? That's too many words, too many letters there. Threw me off there, Scott.
Oklahoma bred.
Yeah, Oklahoma bred. And you know what? It's raced everywhere in Oklahoma. Is that all Oklahoma right there? What's the FMT? What track is that?
I know. WRD is Will Rogers. RP is Remington.
Right. I know that. The FMT, that threw me off. I know we covered that last two shows ago. I keep forgetting it.
Answered recently, and I can't remember.
That's all right. Because when it came here for the maiden special weight, it still didn't get love from the public. It went off at nearly 8-1, and it didn't get the job done. The knowledgeable fans out here at Fairmount Park didn't buy into it. I don't buy into it again. I'm buying into the five. I'm buying six with a distant five following here. That's what I got. All right.
All right.
Let's move on to race number three. We got a 6 furlongs claiming 3,200. And again, you're on a roll here. Let's go.
This one was a tough race to me. I did not go with the favorite. I am like the outside post here for number seven. See you later. Bye. Then 9-2 has some speed. And believe it or not, at 6 years old is the youngest horse in this field. Which cracks me up. Mike Durham got him a couple races ago. He's run okay, I think a second and a third. And now he's cutting back to a sprint from a route. Durham's pretty good at that. So, you know, like I said, this field was tough to come up with the winner, but I'm going with that one.
All right. Yeah, you know what? I like your play there. I like your play. I like the seven. The thing about it that I, we got 6 furlongs here. I kind of like this six horse too. I was looking at the six. He's a solid six. Walter Johnson's been having a good meet here. I don't know how aggressive Rotana's going to get, but Rotana rode him last time, got second. Johnson puts him back on here. I think it's a nice 6-7 exacta box here.
There you go.
I like that. As TVG, the cold cut exacta play of the day.
Ice cold.
Ice cold. Those guys aren't even on anymore, by the way.
Yeah.
I used to love watching that late night on Saturday night or something. You'd have a Los Alamos rating. Yeah. Yeah. So, I got it. 6-7 would be 7-6. And, folks, on that, too, throw that part of your what is that? Now we're talking pick three. Yeah, 50 cent pick three. So we'll get that one going. Got two horses there. Race number four, we got an allowance optional claiming 5,000. And whenever you see these type of races here, you always look at the, there's got to be a Scotty Becker there somewhere.
There's two of them in this race.
Yes.
Okay. And they're both, I believe, owned by the guy who owns the track. Right.
Yeah. William Sturritz. Bill Sturritz.
So that is why I do not like either one of them in this race. Because I'm going to try to beat him with the number six.
We've all tried, Scott.
I know.
We've all tried. He works hard.
Okay. Last race was at Arlington. I'm talking about the number six, Hammered, which is... you know, it's the whiskey earlier. Now we've got Hammered.
Yeah.
a fast paced race, was at a higher level. He's only run six times and has won three of them. So he has some upside.
That was not too shabby of a last race too.
No. So,
I mean, he just,
he was on the turf.
Yeah.
But still, turf to dirt. Well, I have a sample of four. He's, the trainer, Essen Price. He's won one out of four. So he is, but he has good stats otherwise.
Well, Essen Price is definitely he's a player here. He's one of the trainers that do well at Fairmount Park. If you look at the trainers, he's right there every year, and he puts out a good stock, definitely. So yeah, I got this. I kind of like the five. I like the five here. I like Scotty Becker's horse, and he's got Victor Santiago is is top jock too. Mm-hmm. So this, you're not going to get this at 8 to 5. You're probably seeing this as a 4 to 5, lowest probably 6 to 5.
But there is the other Becker Sturitz horse,
right?
The number one. So that might, you know, that one's going to take money too, because actually the speed figures are higher for
right
Ghalib the Great.
Right.
The other one.
I just want to know, okay, you think he rewards him by the last performance Arietta had on this horse, winning by 8.5, and now he says, you know what, I'm going to keep him on the horse. I'm not going to put Santiago on the horse. Because Santiago, he gives him the better of the two always. I mean, okay. that's just the way things go there. But, Scotty could be saying to him right here, hey, you know what? I can't take you off this horse. You showed me well. But why would you put two hot hitters like that in the same race?
I don't know. That's curious.
And,
I guess if you wanted to crush the exacta. Ice cold.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you won by 8.5 lengths in the allowance optional claiming 10,000. Now this is for 5,000. Wouldn't you let your stablemate have this one?
Yeah, that's what I would think. But I don't know. They're just trying to help them fill races. I mean, this card is actually the Saturday card I went to. There were quite a few four horse fields. So
you know what? You just
good.
Hit it. You just hit it, Scotty. You know what's going to happen here? I think one of them is going to be scratched before the race. Yeah. I think this is the way they got the race to go.
Yep.
They filled in that other horse, and now you're going to see one of these horses scratch out of here.
You got
and
it.
I'm going to say, probably it's going to be the one horse, because you just won at allowance optional claiming 10,000. Save that for that next race.
Yep.
That's coming up. So, you know, yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
So I'm thinking five and six.
I'm thinking too, because the five definitely belongs in this caliber here, lost by a nose last time out. So, yeah. 5-6-6-5 is what we're looking at for our exacta box. Don't be discouraged if you see the one scratched here, because there's definitely other horses that you could play with the 5 and 6. All right, moving on. Let's go to race number 5. We got a 6 furlong maiden claiming 4,000. Spectacular animals in this one. Spectacular animals, I gotta tell you. Yeah.
I mean, imagine
doing that. Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of zeros
yeah.
in the buyer's big figure column.
I love seeing the single favorites here. I love how they come. And the guy that does the morning line, he told me, he goes, dude, you know how difficult this is.
Well,
he's only got one horse here. That's the favorite. And that's the 8, Eugene.
Right. Right, and I didn't really like that one, so I landed on the 4, Warrior in Armor, who's 4-1 on the morning line, coming in from Arlington, lightly raced.
You said the 4?
Yeah.
All right.
Lightly raced, you know, 3-year-old with perhaps some upside. So yeah, why not in this field?
Well,
I don't want to take one of those horses that's maiden for 22, maiden for 17. You know, I got to go with one that at least. I can't explain away how terrible their performances are. You know, the 4 has only had 5 starts.
Well, and when it did run on dirt at Hawthorne, it ran, it started moving towards the end there, made up some ground. So, you know what? Maybe let's throw the last 3 out and the last 4 out there and say, okay, that was synthetic and that was. That wasn't the cup of tea for Warrior in Armor, but the race before then at Hawthorne, I mean, it made it some ground and it seemed like it was digging in. So maybe you got a good point here, and it's on the drop too.
I'm a big fan of looking at the fractions, internal fractions of races. So I look at that last race, even though it was on the synthetic 5 furlongs, I mean, 22:44, that's fast.
Right.
And a lot of the horses in this field, you know, you look down at their even 6 furlong
good point.
Horses, and they're running like 23 and 47.
Very
so
good point.
I like to see horses that have been, even if they didn't, you know, win, I like to see that they've been in against horses who are faster and run faster races. And the 4 fits that for me here.
Right. Well, I'm I'm now a little bit thinking about the four as well. I'm going to throw the four in with my trifecta. I'm going with the seven, and that's a 6-1 horse. And when they did drop it down from Tampa to Arlington Park to Fairmount Park, it ran a respectable second here. And this might be the field that this horse does good at. It might be that they finally found the tag, the claiming tag that this horse can compete at. And they didn't, they felt really confident. They're bringing it back, what, maybe 15 days later? Yeah. So 2 weeks later, the horse is right back in. And I think Scenario is ready to roll here.
Okay.
So I got the seven, followed by the four. And then let's throw Eugene in there. With the, that's my play. I got the 7-4-8. What do you got here?
I guess I'll go with the 4 over the 7 there.
You got the 4 on top.
Yeah.
And then do you have the 7 or 8 or anything like that?
I'll throw the 7 in there.
All right, cool. All right. See, that's what horse racing is all about too, that bunch of guys can go out there. What do you like in this leg?
Yeah.
And he writes down his number in a trifecta. There's always, you can't do that at a blackjack table. Hey, that's let me true. See your cards. You can't look, you know, you can't do any of that stuff. So
what's fun is, like, we're talking here and you're pointing out things about a horse that maybe I didn't see or vice versa.
Definitely. Same here. Let's move on to race number six. The race number six, we got a allowance optional claiming 5,000, and this is going long. This is going 1 mile and 70, my friends. And what do you have here, Scott?
I could not get around the favorite here. I'm a long shots player. I love to go against the favorite if at all possible. I just don't see it here. Again, we're back to Becker and Sturitz and Santiago. Coming from Arlington Park, the speed figures, two back, will just destroy this field. Right. So,
I mean, throw the last. If you guys are wondering about the last two is turf and synthetic.
Right.
And the last synthetic, he won it, actually. So this horse has just got war paint on for this one.
So this is number three, put position, 2-1 morning line. I don't think you're going to get that. I think he's going to be bet down or she. And then, I'm hoping you might have somebody to counteract my favoritism here.
Well, I look at class, and this horse, the three horse, you're running open, claiming 8,000 at Hawthorne. That's equivalent to probably a condition horse running for 16. You know, when you're running open like that, you're taking on, it's not even the low end. I know it's low end, but it's not the claiming 4,000, 5,000, 6,000. 8,000, I think you're seeing some good competition, the horses that have aged a little bit, dropping down from allowance level. And he's put on a clinic. The starter allowance optional claiming for 5,000 at Hawthorne, he won by 3/4. That's no gimme either. I mean, that's a type of race that horses now that are running allowance can jump in on that, because they once ran last year or 2 years ago, they ran at that price to get involved in this type of race. But I definitely think that put position should have its way. Should have its way. The last time out, it had a bad start, took up start. Something happened with the horse. And you know what?
And it was on turf.
Right on turf also. That's one thing that I've always told my trainer, that, hey, don't beat the damn horse for fifth place. Right. I don't care. Yeah. I'm not. I'd rather race the horse in two and a half weeks. If the horse is going to get beat down like that for fifth place or fourth place, forget about it. That's not the way we do business. If we're out of it, just hand ride him home.
Yeah.
No need to beat the hell out of him. So that's the way I look at it. And put position did that on. June 9th of this year, and I tell you what, position will be back. And like you said, how can you ignore 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 out of its last 8 before then winners?
Yeah, he's won 7 out of 14 races lifetime, so that's pretty impressive.
Well, what's really weird about that, that's though, you, three races at Fairmont Park hasn't even been in the money. I mean, that's kind of unique for a horse with that type of stature.
Yeah.
You would think, oh, you know what? You should be killing it. And at Fairmont Park, it ran fifth in July of...
last year. A year ago.
Yeah, July last year. And no answer for that. And then it went to Two Life, claiming 4,000. What a low-end race that was. And no answer there. Then suddenly something just, I had a little locker room talk or something. I don't know what the hell happened from that point on. But he's changed his whole charisma about this horse. So put position. But again, if he goes down too low, I may look elsewhere too. I may, because you know what? If you're going 3-5, 1-5, which yeah. he may.
Yeah.
I may just, you know, run to get a beer on this one too. Yeah. I mean,
that's probably a good idea.
Yeah,
she's the youngest in the field at four. The rest of them are at least 5 years old. Some of them are 7 year old mares. And when you get to, you know, I don't know how you feel about this, but I'm always cautious when it comes to mares when they get 5, 6, 7. How much do they really want to be racing versus, you know, having babies? Etc.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Really, because that's just reality that when they get to that age, you know, a lot of them get retired because.
Right. They're going well, I get it. I get it.
And I've seen them, you know, sometimes same thing goes for colts, to be honest, when they get to that age, too, because they want to go be enjoying the breeding industry as well. So you just got to keep an eye on that, how much they really want to do.
Let me throw this at you, a little scenario here. You got the 7 that's all about speed, named EchoStar. Now, 7 could challenge early and put some pressure on Put Position to where Put Position likes has to have the front. I mean, that's the way this horse likes to go. Wants to be out front and comfortably by himself out front. Now, that's going back to July of last year. They didn't like that method. Any horses come near it, this horse starts fading back. But when they have this horse out front, this horse likes to be by itself, probably has blinkers on. And, okay, now if you get this horse out there, this EchoStar to challenge him early, EchoStar I think will fade. I think last one out, he did everything he could and he held on. But now I'm looking at who's the closer here? The five, Rose to Glory, has that potential of closing in. And if this Rose to Glory kicks back and just watches maybe 2 lengths back, I could see 2-3 lengths back on this. And the Rose to Glory may have something to say about this. Coming in from Oak Lawn Park, last time out, ran a starter optional claiming, 10,000 to 15,000. That was no slouch of a race there. And I just think that maybe this horse can make a statement too.
Yeah, it definitely looks like EchoStar is going to the lead, although, you know, those fractions from the last race are pretty slow, 24-47.
Right.
It's not really what I would call a speed ball.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know if there's going to be enough other speed to set it up for the 5, but she is the second choice. And in this race, like you said, we're kind of talking ourselves off the favorite now, Put Position, because she's probably going to be 3-5. So if either, you know, yeah,
why is that about us?
Or
why is that about us? When we see the board up there and it says 1-5 or 3-5, we now go elsewhere. Now we're making picks that are just trying to get us into the ball. And the fan looks at that doesn't know horse racing, goes, well, now I want this 2-1. And that 2-1 just been bet on just out of sheer trying to beat the 3-5 or 1-5 horse.
Yeah.
That's all that is on. And you see a lot of that at harness racing too.
Yeah. Well, I think to your point earlier, it's just pass the race, go to the restroom, go to the beer line. If that's what you're going to end up with, if you're just, you know, desperate to beat a 3-5 favorite.
Right.
Or if you really have a strong opinion, and it doesn't sound like either of us do here. So if you have a strong opinion and you really like a horse against a 3-5, then by all means, put the money down.
Hey, I got to tell you a little story. High school. This is how I picked up. Got phone numbers from girls. Out at the track, I'd go out there, and I would see the board. If there was like a 40-to-1 horse or something, I'd come up to a group of girls and I'd go, "Hey, I got no one today for my horse. If my horse wins, can you gals come into the winner's circle with me?" And they'd be like, "Oh, you own a horse in this race?" I go, "Yeah, that 40-to-1 horse, right? That 5 horse is my horse." And they'll be like, "You're kidding. You own that horse?" "Yeah, and I could sure use some help with a picture because I got no one." And they'll be like, "Oh, yes, we'd love." And then the horse obviously is going to lose. Hopefully it loses. If it wins, I'm out of that track. I'm running to my car. But the horse loses like it's supposed to.
Right.
And I'll be like, "Oh, Jesus, we lost, ladies." "Oh, it's okay." Right. You know, and that's how I got to talking, and I get a couple numbers like that.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. The old school method there.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, we're going to the 7th race here. We got 6 furlong claiming 4,000, and finish us off, Scott.
Okay, so this race, sometimes I like these maidens who have run a few races, haven't been winning, and then all of a sudden they run off by 9.5 lengths. Right. Sometimes I think the light goes on, like you were talking about with the last horse, where her first efforts weren't very good, but then all of a sudden she starts right. winning. You know, this horse just broke her maiden, and that was a 20-point buyer speed figure jump from her previous efforts. The trainer has good numbers, and she's 3, daughter of Albertus Maximus. It's a decent horse. So why not at 4-to-1? Helen May's Song, the number 1.
The one horse. You're going inside rail here, and this is a 6 furlong claiming 4,000 for fillies and mares. You know, I'm not a big fan of maidens now going to 2 life the first race. Unless you're a graded horse or you're getting to, you see the Pletchers do that and all that in the Baffert. They do that, and I'm like, wow, how the hell are they doing that? And but I don't like it. I just think that now you're facing. I mean, you face some low horses right there, maiden claiming 4,000, and maybe that day the crowd bought into you as well. That's how bad this field had to be, that you had to go for 60 cents to the dollar on the wagering. So that shows me there had to be some pigs running in that one.
But she was the favorite or close to it the last 2 starts before that.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's true, too.
Once she dropped down from special weight to maiden 4,000,
right.
You know, she kind of became the favorite. And then all of a sudden she runs off by 9.
Nine.
I don't know what.
Yeah. Well,
that,
yeah. You got to give it some love there. And if you're looking at that, then, to make your point, though, this horse, this 5 horse, ran maiden claiming 4,000, 4,000, 4,000, 4,000. So this horse should have done something after the maiden claiming 2017. You gotta be kidding. How old is this horse? Oh, well, it's only 4. Okay. All right. You know, I'm gonna stick with Dixieland Pumpkin. I've been on this horse. I played it 2-3 times, and why am I gonna play this horse though? I mean, this horse has really let me down a couple times here. I'm going to go with, yeah, yeah. Well, I was going to go with that too. I'm not going. I like shrimp a lot. Every show I think I've said shrimp. And
you mean the food shrimp?
That too. I think that's helped me out to pick the shrimp. But yeah, I can see your point. Let's go with the valid run
here. Wait a minute now. You said you didn't like those jumps. So I can see that. So if I'm going to.
Go ahead.
All right, I'm going to offer up one other possibility here. The 3.
Okay, the 3.
Heroes and Dreams, 3-year-old filly. And what I like, I mean, Steve Manley has some pretty good numbers.
Great numbers. Steve's a great trainer.
The blinkers are coming off.
Uh-oh.
And he's, you know, out of 9 horses, he's 22% with a 547 ROI, which is incredible. His numbers across the board are good. So, you know, maybe I'm changing my mind here.
Yeah. I'm jumping on Manly as well. You got Victor Santiago on the horse too. And, I like the three. I like the three. I like Victor Santiago and with Steve Manly. They make a good duo there as well. So something's going on right here. The one, you know what, Ratana. Now, here's the thing. This gives something away here, Scott.
Okay.
Santiago gets off this horse on the one,
mm-hmm.
which he won by 9.5. His agent's not dumb. He's been on my show plenty of times.
Yeah.
He gets off this horse to ride the three.
Ah. Well, I think I'm getting off the one to ride the three as well.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, and you spotted that. That's great. That's great. I'm going with the three horse on this one too. Yeah,
okay.
That's what we got. The three horse here, and let's follow that. I'm going to follow that up with something here. Let's give the crowd. I'm going to give them another two lifer here. That's 10-1. The two horse. He's going to be in my trifecta. I may play this going 3-2, or I'm going to go 3-2 on this one. I'm looking for some money.
I like it.
You like that?
Yeah,
all like right. All right. That's what we have here, my friends. Scott, what are we going
to... I wanted to add one quick story.
Yeah, please.
Just because it was in my head, and it was that 40-1 you were talking about. Yeah. Picking up chicks.
Can you believe that story? That's a great story.
But I was at Woodbine just a week or two ago for the Queen's Plate.
You used my story, didn't you?
I didn't.
No.
I'm married.
Okay.
But I was sitting with a former jockey watching the races the day before the Queen's Plate.
Uh-huh.
We had been playing all day long, and it was the racing level was kind of low compared to what you would see on Queen's Plate day.
Okay.
So we're getting down to, you know, $5,000-$10,000 claimers, and he's a former jockey, and I'm thinking, you know, we ought to be able to pick some winners. All day long, we couldn't hit anything. So we get to the last race, and we just kind of look at each other and say, you know what? Let's just completely go illogical. Let's pick a horse that
it's been like that all day.
No sense. Right.
It's been like that all day.
So my boss was there, and he goes, well, how about that 9? You know, he's 50-1, 40-1, and, I mean, look on paper, has no chance. So why don't you bet him? Well, we got close to the post time, and we looked at each other, and we both decided to actually make that bet because it was crazy, but
please,
why not?
Please tell me.
And
this
my boss didn't make it, and then he didn't make any bet on the one that he just pointed out. So they're coming around the turn, and he's in last place, but he's starting to gain ground, and then he comes down the stretch, and we're just nudging each other. This horse is going to win.
We got something.
40-1 came in.
It came in.
Yeah.
So did you tell your boss that?
I was punching him, saying, "You didn't. Why didn't you bet this horse?"
How much do you guys have on him?
Like $20.
Nice.
Still
$20 at 40-1. That rescued your whole day.
It did. Absolutely, it did, and it set me up to bet the next day. You know, so
nice.
I don't like to brag too much about that story because I really didn't handicap my way into it.
Now, Scott, Scott, with me there, I would have been running to the parking lot, getting my car, get the hell out of that park, because I would have said, "Yeah, that's my horse. Oh, holy shit, it's gonna win." We can't have that.
Anyway.
That's our show, man. Thank you so much, Scott. You got to come back on.
Yeah, definitely will.
If you can't come to the studio, we got to call you in and give us all the ins and outs, a little gossip, whatever's going on in the horse racing gig. And this was great. You got to be here. You just gave us a lot of tips on these horses too. So that was great.
I'm not sure I'm the expert on Fairmont Park. I think that might be.
You live here now.
I'm gonna have to learn it.
It's a great escape. It's a great escape.
Yeah.
Tuesdays and Saturdays. Tuesdays at 1 p.m. my friends, and Saturdays at 7:30 post time. So thank you again, Brian, for your weather update. And thank you, Scott, for being on our show. And that's Jay Gow, Scott Jay Gow, with the Pollock Report.
Pollock Report. And that's,
Pollock Report.
You can find it at paulick.com. And again, the email that we send out every day with the headlines is free.
Just click the
sign up button.
All right. And
the website is all free as well. It's great information about the whole industry.
Right. So. Perfect. Perfect. All right. Thank you, my friends. Tune in next week when we continue our racing at Fairmont Park. And again, hit us a big like on Facebook, too. We love all the messages we get from you guys, too. If it's anything negative, give it to Brian, not me. All right. Thank you. All right. Take care, folks. Bye.
Tune in next week for another episode of Race Day at Fairmont Park on the lineupmedia.fm network. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or through our website, fairmontparkpodcast.com, and follow the show on Facebook and Twitter. There's a perfect time when you're tempted.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.